Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we are here for our INE office hours call for the month of December 2016. This is a call where you get to ask questions about your clients, their labs, about protocols, about, you know, specific things that may come up with you. And this is a call that's for all of our INE community. That's for our NEPT people, our nutritional endocrinology practitioner training, as well as our people that are in other programs like clinical mastery of the digestive system or insulin resistance practitioner training. So welcome, everyone. Welcome if you're new to the community. We're honored to have you. I love this community. I love the kind of questions that come up and the way that things work. So the way that these calls work is that some people submit questions in advance. You're welcome to submit questions in advance for these calls. However, I do ask a couple of favors for that. One is if you are going to submit labs, don't do it in a long strung out string of values. Submit an actual lab report because that will have things in context. And that's how I see things as a holistic piece, not just a couple of little lab markers, unless you're asking me about one or two lab markers. But we've had people who have submitted this long string of lab stuff and that just I don't have that kind of brain. My brain just goes crazy with that. I like my things in a nice organized spreadsheet. So for those of you in NEPT, if you are going to submit labs, whether for you or your client, go ahead and use the Master Health Tracker. If you don't know how to use the Master Health Tracker, there is a recording somewhere, or you can ask Lynn how she can direct you. It's pretty straightforward. You just go in there and the numbers on the tracker correspond to the numbers on your lab. And we tried to do it in order the way LabCorp does it and the way many labs do it, but it might be slightly out of order, so you have to hunt around a little bit. Otherwise, if you're not in any PT and you don't have access to that spreadsheet, then just go ahead and at least submit a lab report so I can see things in context. Because one of the things about this methodology that we use, this more functional, integrative approach, is that we're not looking at a person as a symptom or a set of symptoms. We're looking at a person as a whole, a complex organism. And the same thing with labs. Like, when you tell me one lab value, like this one's out of balance, what does that mean? I don't know what that means unless I know it in context with what the other values are and what's going on with that person. How old is that person? What's their background, right? What's going on with them? So that's what's really helpful. And that way everybody gets the most out of these calls, and it makes it much easier for me to help you and not have to send you away to get more information. All right, so a way that the calls work is we have you raise your hand, *2, to say I have a question or a comment or I submitted a lab and I'd like to, you know, ask some questions about it. These are not calls where we do full in-depth case analyses like, you know, submit 5 labs and we go through them. Those are set aside for specific calls. We have had them within CMDS and within IRSPT and within NEPT. We have them monthly where you submit a whole case and we go through a series of labs and findings and all that. This is more intended to somebody just got this, had this lab done, you know, these values are here, what are you thinking, what can I do, what's my next step, I'm thinking this, what do you think? So more of an overall, we're not going to just sit down and read labs on this call because that's not the intent of this call. This is intended for everybody to ask questions and you know, really get into some conversations about it. Somebody started screen sharing. Who started screen sharing? Very interesting. Simone started screen sharing. Simone, you're sharing your screen with the whole group, and I don't know if you intended that, but you shouldn't be sharing your screen with the whole group. There you go. Thank you. Yeah, so that's the story here. And I know, Susan, you submitted some, and I did look quickly over some of the stuff, and I can give you a few quick pointers on a couple of those labs. And I'd prefer that you submit them for, or we hold them for next week in NEPT. We have a case study call. I think it's on Wednesday afternoon, and we also have on Monday evening, we have a regular open office hours, and we can go further with that. So *2 raises your hand. And Susan, like I said, I'm happy to help you with what labs I have of yours, but it's not going to be a full-blown analysis. And I'd rather focus on like what particular questions you have. And also, a lot of times I like to ask you what you're thinking, because that's the learning process. It's not just about me spewing out what I'm thinking. I want to ask you what you're thinking so that we can help you to develop that clinical mastery, those clinical skills of looking at labs or looking at a situation. So *2 raises your hand. I didn't mean to scare anybody from raising their hand, but please do raise your hand, because I do want to discuss things if you're on the phone. And if you're on the chat, just let me know. And Lynn did not say that there were any questions typed in advance for this call, but yeah. Okay, good. So if you can hear me on the Zoom, that's great. And if you can't, that's, you know, fine too. If we can do it that way, we'll do it that way. I just am trying to keep it simple on my end, because sometimes I have four different things open and we're trying to keep track of who's talking on which one. And that gets a little overwhelming. But yeah, we need Lynn. Okay, Susan here again. I get the Zoom link. Yeah, the Zoom link was in the email. And Lynn is actually not here today because she's in California taking a class. She's a great help on these calls and keeping, you know, the chats organized and all that. But she's actually taking a level one certification at Lionheart Institute of Transpersonal Energy Healing, and she's excited to be there, and she's there with three others of our NEPT students, so I'm excited for her to be there. So yeah, it makes it a little harder for me to make it through the day, but so be it. I can deal with it. All right, so if you have questions, type them in. I'm going to do a quick search. She told me as of yesterday there weren't any questions typed in on the site, but I do want to do that as long as nobody has their hands up, and I want to look to see if there are any. So that would be our, how do you do that? Support, right? Ask for INE office hours. Here we go. Okay. Oh, I have one from Elaine Watkins. Lisa, holy cow. Okay, this is exactly what I don't want. But this was from November 2nd, which was before our last ones, and I think we might have talked about this. Yeah, so when you throw into the chat, like the in advance thing, and you say, hey, here's my labs, what does this all mean? Again, I'm not brilliant enough to be able to memorize every single optimal range. So that's really hard on me to be able to look at that. And these look like, based on when the last call was, like these were sent in beforehand. We talked about these. But this is, I'm going to share my screen real quick so you could see what I prefer not you do, because I can't help you the best way I can by doing it this way. So I'll share my screen, and it's going to be this one. So you should see my screen if you went to the Zoom. And when you just throw a bunch of labs like that in listed like that, that doesn't help me very much, because I don't, you know, some of them I do. I'll go, oh, free T3 1.99, that's very low. Okay, TSH 1.47, that's within optimal range, but that doesn't mean anything. Free T4 104, that means this person has a conversion issue. So some things I can look at and immediately help you with. But other things, I'm like, oh, what's the, like iodine, I never do serum iodine. I have no idea what the range is. I'd have to look that up. Nor I don't know whether it's meaningful. So, but there's somebody who's it's gone down. Her free T3 has gone even further down. This person's having some serious issues, and we need to know what else is going on. Are there other natural alternatives to improving thyroid function? I don't like medication, but it does seem some thyroid medication can help. Yeah, and so we did talk about this last time. I remember this question, and we made some recommendations. But again, because I'm so familiar with the thyroid and I know those ranges off the top of my head, I can do that. But some of the other stuff I can't. Okay. Her reverse T3 looks high too. So there's probably a lot of stress here going on. There's probably some inflammation. There might be leaky gut and there might be some adrenal stuff. How do I know all that? Well, look at the numbers. They're going down from May to October. And she was on some, thyroid natural stuff. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff that I'm seeing. The doctor told her to try to take iodine, but when I look at this, we don't know what her total T4 is, which is a very important. Oh yeah, we don't know what her total T4 is, which is what the thyroid is actually producing. So, without knowing that, I can't tell. But her free T4 is fine. Free T4 there. Free T. Three, we don't get it again. So, but her free T4 is fine. It's her free T3 that's low. But just throwing iodine at the situation, not going to help, right? Because this person has plenty of thyroid hormone, T4, but it's not just converting the right way. It's converting to reverse T3. And here it got even worse. So my guess is that there's a lot of stress going on. There's some inflammation going on. There's probably thyroid receptor resistance. You can look at the factors that help the conversion, which would be like iodine would be somewhat helpful, but it really has to be done with selenium. So selenium needs to be done, 200 to 400 micrograms. And we got to look at the receptors and all that. And that those are affected by homocysteine, vitamin A, inflammation, adrenals. Too much cortisol or too little cortisol will impact the conversion from T4 to T3. Anyway, I just proved that I can do it, but this was a different thing because it's thyroid. So I prefer to have them in a better fashion so I could see other things around it. But anyway, that was that. Looks like somebody else did something. Oh, was that Elaine? No, that was Lisa, the last call. So Elaine did that here. And like estradiol, I have no clue what the range is. I don't memorize those. Homocysteine 3.9, I know that's good. Ferritin 40, I know that's good. Let's see what else. T3 uptake, I don't even look at. Free T3 is 3.2, that's good. Free T4, 1.36, those are good in ratio. T4 is good. Reverse T3, good in relationship. So all of the thyroid numbers look fine. And this is an 18-year-old, 100-pound woman with anxiety attacks, panic attacks, sensory overwhelm, following a 416 blood test. So her thyroid looks okay. Of course, somebody can have a perfectly normal-looking thyroid panel but have problems with thyroid symptoms because of receptor problems. She's 18. What I'm going to say is, in general, whenever you have somebody with any of these problems, you've got to look at the basics. You've got to look at foundations. You've got to look at what they're eating. How much sugar? How much wheat? How much dairy? Are they eating foods that are causing sensitivity? Do they have gut imbalance? Because gut flora imbalance will lead to anxiety big time. There's a huge connection between the level of GABA and dopamine and serotonin and in the gut. And the gut health. So there's been a lot of study on that. So it's really whenever you're approaching something like that, this is blood tests, but I always want to say, and I'm happy to look at blood tests, but you've got to be looking at what the heck is going on with this person. What are they eating? What are they drinking? Right? How much stress are they under in their lives? Are they being beaten? Have they, you know what I'm saying? Like, how are they perfectionistic? There may be some genetic things, right, that go into the panic attacks and all that. But if I see somebody with that situation, the first thing I'm going to say is get this person off of the processed foods, get this person off of gluten, get them off of dairy, get them off of sugar, any kind of hydrogenated fats, get them on lots of leafy greens, get them on some coconut oil. She's light, so you want to make sure that she's got enough calories going in when you remove those other things. Lots of whole fresh foods, nuts and seeds, and I would start with all that and a good overall B complex multi, a good mineral support without knowing anything. You know, if I didn't know anything about a person, especially at 18, likely their diet is pretty poor. So I would be looking at at all that dietary cleanup, maybe some basic stuff just to get the level of anxiety down. Then we want to look to see, is there a serotonin imbalance? Is there a GABA deficiency? And there are tests that you can do that we offer within NEPT in our module on that. I think it's module 5, which is the history taking. And we have a test that you can give them, just have them paper and pen to help you to pinpoint. The other way you could do that is get a book called The Edge Effect by Eric Braverman. Great book, because it has these quizzes that you can have people take to identify where they have a tendency, which neurotransmitter they have a tendency to be most out of balance with. Then you can look at foods and everything. So I would highly recommend you get The Edge Effect as a starting point. I'm not 100% in agreement with all of his dietary things, but I think, you know, with a good solid diet and some of that stuff, that I really would rule out thyroid at this point, except thyroid receptor resistance from the stress of the anxiety attack. So there could be some thyroid involvement there, but it's more related to the stress. But I would be looking at the gut big time in this person. And again, I don't know those numbers off the top of my head. Homocysteine looks fine. Testosterone, I don't know. I just don't know those numbers. Vitamin D looks fine. And I'd have to see it in relationship to the RET. She's 99% organic, gluten-free, but mostly dairy, and mostly dairy-free. So get her off the dairy and then start to look at, I would start to look at the any other allergens, right? Do an elimination diet. Do a get rid of the top 7 foods and do an elimination diet. Suggested more red meat, add 5-HTP, and come back in a year. Like, really? That's kind of weird. You know, and going for walks in sunshine is great. 5-HTP could be a really good idea. Again, I probably want to have her do the quizzes, because you don't want to throw her more out of balance if she has plenty of serotonin but not enough dopamine, and adding 5-HTP can increase serotonin at the expense of dopamine, and it might be a GABA problem. And, you know, really identifying where, what other things are going on, like how's her gut, is she eating under stress, et cetera. So those are the kind of things that I would be looking at for that one. And if, Elaine, if you're on the call and you want to add anything, please do let me know. Raise your hand or open your line. No, open your line. It's my participants. Yeah, Elaine, you're on there. You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah,
so here's the problem, though, because of the way we're set up, I'm not sure that people on Instant Teleseminar are going to hear you there. So let me see. That's why this call is mainly this is for, because I called in on the internet. So let me just see if these guys can hear you, before we go on. So I'm going to just open up Tony. And then, Tony, are you hearing Elaine at all? Elaine, go ahead and speak.
I am.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me?
I am.
Oh, yay.
Hold on. Yeah,
all
can
right.
You hear me?
Yeah,
cool.
You're hearing her off of,
okay.
You're hearing her. All right.
It's faint, but I can hear her, yeah.
It's faint, but you can hear her. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. If anybody is not hearing Elaine, just go ahead and do a star two.
I'm here.
Okay, so speak loudly. That's ludicrous.
Kind of shocked, and that's when I kind of really figured out that even though she's a very nice doctor, I don't think she really knows what she's doing. So.
No. Yeah, so I would look at the gut for sure, because, you know, and how long has she been on 99% organic and off of gluten?
It's probably been about 6 months now.
Mm-hmm. And was there any change, any improvement at all?
No, but she, you know, it's my daughter, and we were already practically gluten-free as it is, because I'm gluten-free.
Mm.
So we're just very rarely having gluten when they were out and about, so.
Yeah.
Didn't really notice any differences with that. She has had a couple of milder periods, which I can't remember if I put on there, but she has pretty, really sad, depressed periods about a week before.
Mm.
And so I've been trying to do very progesterone-oriented foods those last 2 weeks leading in, and she did seem to have a pretty decent one this past month. But yeah, she's just, it is a little concerning about taking anything out of her diet. I mean, so I hear what you're saying about about completely eliminating the dairy, and she's off of gluten now completely.
Is she off of sugar? Does she have blood sugar swings perhaps too? That's another thing to look at.
Well, we do a lot of plants, so a lot of fruit, and we don't actually have sugar in the house. It's just more the fructose from the fruit, and then we do stevia.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like maybe not, but I mean, you never know if that's something that's contributing. So I would probably, if she's open to it, it's hard with an 18-year-old, but to get to poke her finger and see what her postprandials are. That's after eating. Like, so take her blood sugar before she eats and then monitor it over the next couple of hours after she eats to see how high it gets and how low it gets. Yeah, because sometimes hypoglycemia can create anxiety attacks. But it's also GABA. So him saying 5-HTP, yeah, that's possible. But without knowing more, you know, he may have more information than I do. But the Edge Effect is a great learning opportunity for you as well as a practitioner. So I would go through, get the book.
What is that, the Edge Effect?
It's a book. It's a book. You can get it on Amazon, The Edge Effect, Eric Braverman, MD. And it's really, really well written. And he has a lot of little quizzes in there. So you can have her look at it. And then he has, you know, certain foods that help with GABA and certain supplements, et cetera. You know, I know that 5-HTP is great if it turns out serotonin. I had my son do that. And he was like, GABA. Like, it was so GABA. And that's what, and when I got his genetic test back, he had all these GAD enzyme SNPs, and like GABA, he's low in GABA, this poor kid, you know, so that's why he had some anxiety in school and was having trouble sleeping, and so we've worked on that, but yeah, I think that that's a good book to do, to isolate, and yeah, 5-HTP, I mean, it's not necessarily going to hurt her if it's the wrong thing. If it makes her worse, then stop it. But I have had really good results with people who write, you know, mid-cycle to their periods just went into this anxiety depression thing, and 5-HTP was wonderful. You could do, I'm not a big fan of neurotransmitter tests, but you can also do hormone testing. Since it's clearly there's association with the periods, you may want to do like a Dutch test on her and see what's out of balance, because sometimes that's all that's needed.
Yep. All right. And then probably need to do the genetic testing, which I was already thinking about doing since we had our last call with everybody in the family. So that would give me that information too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, you know, the Dutch is going to give you what's her current situation with her hormones so you can intervene right away. Is she on a multi? Is she on B vitamins? Does she get minerals?
What is it called? Designs for Health. I think it's Designs for Health.
Mm-hmm.
B complex, which is supposed to be gluten free and all that. So
mm-hmm.
She doesn't do it religiously, but she probably does it, I would say, intermittently.
Yeah. Well, she should definitely do it religiously, at least from the mid cycle to the end. And if, you know, if you wanted to get a Dutch cycle mapping, you could do that as well. But I think at least getting, yeah, that might be the best thing to do for her, the Dutch cycle mapping.
Okay.
And they basically take it throughout. But, you know, and adrenals, right? How is she a high stress person? Is she under a lot of stress? Does she have a lot of academic stress she puts on herself? It doesn't sound like you put it on her, but it sounds like, you know, a lot of kids get that they have to be perfect. They have to get their A's and they feel that stress. So
yeah, she tends towards perfectionism we just finished homeschooling, and she usually was disappointed with a 97, kind of a.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
She's just starting college classes, so I don't really know how that's going to work out. But yes, she is very hard on herself. I've been working on her on the negative self-talk.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes that feeds, you know, they feed each other, right? So the biochemical imbalance feeds that need for perfection. I wouldn't be surprised if she had a bunch of GADs, and I'm feeling like GABA might be an issue. So you might want to look at that Edge Effect in it, because it gives you like various questions to ask about habits and preferences and things like that to help her figure it out. Often, is it always been this way since her period started, or is this something new? Yeah.
Her D's were in the tank, so ever visited that doctor, and she put her on E3, so we started that at 10,000. She does 10,000 a day, and that definitely brought her up out of major darkness, but she's still not right.
Yeah.
She's always had problems with her period. She's never been really joyful or anything. It's, she's still not right.
Well, you want to look at B12 as well, because B12 can be a big issue.
Okay.
And, you don't, just looking at B12, I would look at the MCV in her blood test, mean corpuscular volume, which would give you an idea. But the other thing is, you could just get her a sublingual B12 and see. My older son is night and day with sublingual B12, and he now knows, like, whoops, I haven't taken my B12 in a while, better take it.
Keeps him. He had
very serious, he had crazy stuff happening at menopause, where he just started to get, he would go to the library to try to figure out what was wrong with him and buy books on, the autobiography of a schizophrenic. And, he had some things like, what's the thing when you, paranoia. He would have paranoia, and he'd be really aware of it too. He'd go, "Mom, I think the paranoia is coming back, and I think I better do something about it." Right. So we got him to learn more about that. So he did have the ups and downs, and he still does if he doesn't be careful. And a lot of it can be gut stuff, a lot of it can be. So really look at going through all the processes that we talked to you about in terms of healing her gut. Making sure that she's getting that, but as a band-aid right now to help this kid out of this depression, I would look at B vitamins. I would look at getting a sublingual B12 and see if that makes a difference, or a patch. For my son, I did the patch, and I actually went with him. There's a book called Could It Be B12? And I went to him with this list of symptoms. I said, "Do you have any of these other symptoms?" And he goes, "Yeah, all of them." I'm like, okay. We tested it, and we tested his methylmalonic acid, and it was really high. It was like double and a half what it should have been. And we put him on a B12 patch for 3 months, retested at 3 months, and it was back in the normal range. And he said, "Could this make a difference this quickly?" So you never, never overlook B12 as a possibility. And there's, and taking a normal dose of B12, if it makes her anxiety worse, if you do a methyl B12 and it makes her anxiety worse, then I would stop it and get a different form. Or you might even just start with like a hydroxy B12 just to be safe. Because if we don't know what her genetics are, and she does have those COM-T homozygous SNPs, that's going to cause her to just be more prone to anxiety. And then when you add the extra methyl groups, that pathway is overtaxed, and you get a buildup of the dopamine byproducts and all, and it creates anxiety. So, because we don't know all the facts, I would say I would go with like a hydroxy B12, and you can get that from Seeking Health or any number of places.
Okay.
And just have her do sublingual under her tongue.
All right.
Or a liquid that she lets go under her tongue. And make sure that her magnesium and B6 are in good places, because those are super important for the breakdown and, the metabolized hormones. Make sure she's doing like cruciferous vegetables, because those are really important for healthy cycle, female cycle, and the breakdown and the elimination of the metabolized estrogens. All those things that are just like super basic stuff, but for an 18-year-old, it's not always what they're doing.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, because something as simple as ordered a different foot-soaking container from Amazon, and she's been doing a lot of foot soaks with Epsom salt and lavender at night. And this period that she just finished was the easiest that she's ever had.
That's great.
I'm really wondering if it had to do with the frequency of her doing foot soaks, because she had done not every night, but many, many nights she did foot soaks. And I'm really wondering if that alone made the difference.
Could be. Yeah, it could very well be.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do a lot of cruciferous vegetables, but I'll increase even more.
B6, magnesium, and even just if she's not consistent, I would, I like just the general multi from Health Force Nutritionals has that, what's it called, Rush, Vitamineral Rush, and then they also have one called Liquid Light. And they're both liquids, and you can just stick it in a smoothie or a drink or water even. They don't taste too bad. And this have her get those extra minerals every day to make sure. But especially at the period and to the end. Does she have painful periods?
Usually.
Yeah. Yeah. I would look at her magnesium.
She's really weak.
I would look at her magnesium levels, too. You know, and when I say look at them, just give her magnesium. Just,
yeah.
You know, mid-cycle. Just start at mid-cycle to the end. Magnesium and B6 can really help that a lot. And with the pain, if it's something you want to look at for the pain, there's an herb called Black Haw that's really good. Yeah, you want to look for the underlying causes and all, but Black Haw can be a really great symptomatic relief for menstrual stuff.
Black
Haw, H-A-W.
Okay.
And if she does it for two cycles and doesn't see any noticeable difference in the cramping, then it's not going to work. But it works in like 90% of people.
Okay.
And just to help her, magnesium and Black Haw can be night and day. And I'll just share with you something that you met Karen Osborne at Shine, right? She, her daughter, her whole life of miserable periods, like just doubled over in bed, you know, skipped school the whole bit. And she had tried various things. She even did try the Black Haw, and it, you know, sort of took the edge off. The magnesium took the edge off a little bit, but she was just like eating Advil by the handfuls during her period. And Karen started making her elixirs. And she, I think it was like the energy elixir, one of the elixirs that was in my recipe guide. And she just started making her the elixirs, but in every way, shape, and form. She'd make them as elixirs. She'd make them as muffins. But she gave her certain, you know, quantities to like the equivalent of a 16-ounce elixir every day. And within 2 months, she now has normal cycles.
Wow. So it was a deficiency then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and an imbalance there. So the elixirs have a lot of adaptogens in them. So it was adaptogenic and was affecting her adrenals. And just helping her a lot that way. And they also had stuff that helped with thyroid and thyroid conversion and all that. So those are some things to be looking at.
Okay. All right. Well, then I will run all of those. We'll make those changes and then make those changes and do those tests. And then we'll do new tests and I'll send them to you and let you see what you think about them.
Yep. And if you get new tests, what you do is you take – you put them in the master tracker and you put all of them in. So there's columns for the different dates. So we can actually see the progression and the changes. And if you have any other tests for her, throw those in there as well. And that way we get to see the big picture.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Looks like Susan is there. I'm hoping that we get the recording of that. I hope it works. I'm gonna hit the record button on Zoom as well, so we'll have two recordings just in case. So Susan, I saw that you were on the phone, but now you're on Zoom. So if you wanted to talk about any of the labs you submitted, I know you submitted some for your mothers, just go ahead and open up your line or raise your hand, and then I'm gonna check the chat and see. Daniela said, my excruciated period pains vanished when I started using detoxified iodine. Tell me what detoxified iodine is. Yessa says, no sound. Yessa. Yeah. So Daniela said, would you recommend a B12 shot when someone is depleted? Sure. I mean, yeah, right. You want to go for the wise. But yes, a B12 shot can be very, very helpful. It's just expensive. It's invasive. Not everybody wants to do it. But like my son, there's no way at 14 he would have done a B12 shot. But I did give him the patch, and he liked that. Now he just takes a sublingual. Okay, Favor, I have raised my hand. Okay, I will look there. I didn't see it. So, Favor, like, let me look. Okay. I don't see any hands up. So, Favor. Huh. Nope. Let me just write that in case you can't hear anymore.
Hello?
the way you raise your hand on Instant Teleseminar is star 2. And that works. Oh, I put my name in as Hi Chet. How funny is that? I'm wondering why it keeps saying Hi Chet. When it asked me for my name, I said Hi Chet because Chet was on. Oh, so Hi Chet is me, by the way. Okay, good. Okay, good. Well, raise your hand as soon as you do. Okay, there, I see the hand up. Great. Is that Favor?
Yes.
Yes, and I don't know that the people on Zoom are going to hear you. So if you're just on Zoom, that's why we set it up for just, I'm sorry, Instant Teleseminar. Zoom is meant for screen share. So I can't, I don't know if I can put this on. Let me see if I can put this on.
Dr. Rita Maria, I'm so sorry because I don't have the skill on the computer on Zoom, so that's why I don't know how to do it.
That's okay. No, it wasn't intended to be on Zoom, but I think everybody likes Zoom better and will eventually switch over. But I was planning on just doing it on Instant Teleseminar. So you're in the right place. I'm just going to see if I can if I can change the playback device to set this to go to the computer speaker. Okay, go ahead and speak.
Okay.
Yay. Okay, good. It's coming through. So just let me get a sense of it. Anybody, somebody on Zoom, can you hear? Favor, go ahead and speak. And let me raise my speaker volume.
Question for you.
Great.
This is for myself. I have gone through a symptom for many years. That is my lower abdomen got itching and pain inside. It started from 2005. And I've gone from doctor to doctor, and nobody find out what is wrong. And I try acupuncture, Chinese medicine, everything and anything. So I'm on a very clean diet, 100% dairy-free, gluten-free, sugar-free for so many years. And it seems that symptom is getting worse. I started my Candida program, 28 days. Today is my 9th day. And it aggravate more pain and more itching inside.
Tell me about that, because when I say itching, I'm thinking on the skin. So what is itching inside?
No, it's itching inside the abdomen.
So it feels like itching, but it's inside.
Yeah, it's inside lower abdomen. It's like somewhere near the sigmoid colon. And I did the colonoscopy for 3 times. They couldn't find anything wrong, but the last time, I did it back home in my country. The doctor found that he said I got a diverticular pouch, too small one, so it doesn't matter. But I think it does matter because I got a lot of tests from UK here. They say I have nothing wrong. But I found out in my country, they say I have diverticular pouch, too little one, but it's not going to aggravate pain. But I'm having a lot of pain, both sides, right and left. And it's getting worse, and I try anything and everything. I don't know what is wrong. That's why I need your help.
Okay, let me see what I can do then. When you say pain, are you talking sharp, stabbing pain, or are you talking constant kind of achy pain?
Initially, it was started a little bit come and go, and for many years, and I couldn't find anything that I just left it. And now it's getting the pain every day. And I don't know what is causing it, and I've been eating very clean diet because I'm always don't eat anything gluten, like anything like that, but I don't know what.
Okay, so tell me again, the pain is there all day, every day, or just particular times of the day?
It's all day. If I'm quiet, then I can feel the pain more. If I'm always, because I go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week, I can do the gym, but I feel the pain when I walk, so I don't know what is causing it. I've done a lot of scan, a lot of X-ray. They couldn't find nothing wrong in me. They said there's nothing wrong in me. It's in my head.
Wait, you just said something very important. You just said it hurts worse when you walk. Okay?
Someday, when I woke up first thing in the morning, I walk, it hurts. Someday, I don't get pain at all. Someday, if I sit down, I get up and walk, and it hurts. But if I don't walk, I lie down in bed, I can feel the pain inside. It almost wakes me up every night now.
And it's on both sides equally, or is it one side worse than the other?
It's both sides on my left side, and on the right
so
side,
left
it's
side
getting pain.
Okay. And when the first time it happened, what was happening in your life? What was happening at the time you first time it happened,
it was on the left, and I went to see the gynecology in London. What she did the laparoscopy for me, and she said, because I had a few blocks, so she said, I clean it up. But after what she did for me, it didn't feel any different. It's still the same. So I still go for another gynecology, and then she said that, oh, there's nothing wrong. So I left it. So I went to gastroenterology, and he said nothing wrong. So I just left it, and I keep trying everything clean, and I don't know what is causing it. I'm getting very frustrated because I tried so many things.
Yeah. So has she looked at, or the gynecologist, he or she, have they looked, you said they did a laparoscopy, and they thought the tube was blocked?
They saw one side was blocked, and then she cleaned it up, and after 2 days of laparoscopy, I went back to see her, or 1 week, remember to see her. She said, oh, it's been cleaned up, there's nothing wrong. And so I thought, okay, so I thought it might take some time to heal, but it didn't go away until now. It's been coming up to 11 years.
11 years. So tell me what was happening right before it happened. Like, what was it like? You didn't have pain, and then suddenly one
day... I never have any pain before, but I do have constipation problem. So that was when I was young age. But I eat a lot of fiber. That sorted it out. So I thought, okay, that's not my colon problem. But lately, I think 2013, I went to see another gynecology. This time, he suspect it might be that the tube causing me the inflammation. So what he did, he said, oh, okay, it's more to remove it. So I trusted him. So he removed both ovaries and my both fallopian tube. So since then, I never get good at all, and I still get the pain, and it's getting worse now. Don't know what is causing it, but the doctor here said it could be the scar tissue is causing the adhesion, causing you the pain. I really got no answer for myself. Because I eat very, very clean diet. And
tell me what you mean by clean diet. Tell me about your diet.
Okay, I'm sugar-free. I don't eat sweet fruit. I don't eat anything baked, anything sweet. I don't touch them. I don't eat carbohydrate a lot. Occasionally, I will have rice a little bit. And most of it is vegetables. And I don't drink dairy.
No
dairy, no gluten. And I have food sensitivity test. I have 15 sensitivity food sensitive. And I did the organic acid test last year from the Great Plain Laboratory. And I have a high yeast marker. I have bacteria overgrowth. I have...
So it's growth you found on a lab test last year?
Yes, October.
October. Of this year or last year? October 15 or 16?
October 16. 15.
15. Okay, and what did you do about the candida overgrowth once you found it?
Okay, I did the candida cleanse myself. I did a lot of oregano, herbs and things like that, and Chinese herbs. And it seems like not really going. So now I'm starting the program, which I'm on a CNBS course. And I'm starting the Candida 28 days program. I'm on the 9th day. And it seems I got more pain. So this morning, I thought maybe the capsules, so I opened them up. I put them in the hot water. And I leave the bit on the bottom. So I just drink the water. So I thought that might be the strain in the capsule, because I took the broth and the sperm together. So I go according the schedule. So I go according, let's say 10 sperm, and will be 9 capsule of broth, or something 8. So today is 8 capsules. So I remove them out and I put in the hot water and I drink the liquid instead of drinking the whole tablet.
Was that any better? Did that make it any better?
I don't know because I don't feel any better now. But what I noticed today, I used a bunch of fresh thyme. I boil in the water. I've been drinking it throughout the day. And I got 2 weeks ago, I suddenly felt I got something blocking in my chest area. It sounds like it's a gas. So when I press it, when the gas come out, I didn't feel like a stone there. Otherwise, I feel like a stone stuck in my chest. So I thought it might be the gas. So I start drinking the thyme today. And it seems like I feel better. I don't feel that the stone is like stepping on my chest area. So I think the thyme is doing something. But the pain in my stomach is still there.
And when you say stomach now, because that's different than what you said before. Before I'm looking at right and left side, you know, pelvic area pain, lower.
Yeah,
stomach.
Pelvic area. Yeah, that's right.
So not stomach.
Yeah, it's both sides of pelvic area. Yes.
Okay.
The lower abdomen there.
Yeah, just that's just something to really clarify when you're talking to people is they'll say I have a stomach pain and then they point to their lower abdomen, or they'll say they have an intestinal pain and then they point to the stomach. So it's really important not to just take the words, but have them point. So what I want to know is, did you have, back 11 years ago, before this all started happening, did you have any kind of car accident or physical injury where you were injured at all?
I don't have any car accident. I did fell down from the stool, from the chair when I was at school. My class threw away the stool and I sit on the floor, and that was one accident. And I did fell down from the tree when I was younger, when I was teenager. So from the fruit tree on the floor, from the tree I climbed and I climbed up to grab the fruit and I just dropped them off myself on the floor. And that was two accidents that I had in my life.
And how soon before the pain started in your pelvis did you have that second accident?
You mean the accident?
Yeah, the second. Yeah, the most recent one. When was that?
Oh, when was that? The pain. Okay, this one was about a few months ago. I started getting a lot of pain in my both lower abdomen. So
I want to talk about what happened before this all started. So was there a time before the first incidence of the pain, you said there was an accident when you were a teenager. Was there anything else that was closer to right before?
No. There was nothing, pain, nothing at all when I was just about 16 years old. So there was nothing like that. I was 40 years now.
Okay,
so I didn't have any pain, yeah.
The very first time you noticed this pain?
The very first time I noticed the pain was 2005.
Okay, and what were you doing at the time?
At that time, I went to see GP. I went to see
the
doctor.
I don't mean what did you do about it. I mean, where were you when the pain started? Tell me everything about the situation that was happening.
Okay. When the pain started, okay, I went for acupuncture. So
not what you did after the pain started. I want to know what you were doing right before the pain started.
Before the pain started, no, I do nothing.
Okay, so you were just sitting around your house and all of a sudden you started to have pain.
No. The pain came gradually. I don't know why.
Right.
Thing started from little symptom. It was start itching, irritating inside. It's the lower abdomen on the left side. So I started to go and see doctor because I always very healthy. I never got sick. So, and then I started going to see doctor. They said that, oh, this might be the problem. So I trusted them, and they did the laparoscopy. I said, okay, if that's the case. But I didn't know that it's that serious. Until today, I still couldn't find the answer what is causing it.
Yeah. So in the meantime, you've had them clean out your tube, and then they went in and took out your ovaries, and you've had multiple colonoscopies. So you've had a lot of invasive stuff that, you know, aggravates the area. But I'm just wondering, you know, that you haven't done anything like physical, like if there's, like I'll ask Laura to open her line because I want to see if she has anything to say because she's a pelvic floor expert, but I'm wondering if there's some kind of physical thing, like a ligamentous thing going on or a subluxation of the sacrum that's causing a pulling on some of those ligaments, the uterosacral ligaments and all those. So I'm just curious if that could, if that's not been looked at, because you've looked inside, you're on a clean diet. Are you still constipated, or are you having regular bowel movements?
Yes, I am still constipated. Every day I'm trying to do the coffee enema, herbal enema. I'm trying to clean my bowel out. If I don't take anything, then I'll be constipated. So I have to rely on Tufla at the moment. So I never used it.
How long has it been since you've been constipated?
It started last year. I feel cold easily, and I get coffee in hand. My skin is getting very dry.
Okay. Yeah, so I was going to say, have your thyroid checked.
I did the test check here, and they say it's normal, but I'm doing another test with Genova, and also the stool test with Genova, but the result is not coming back yet. I done the SIBO test, and the result
doesn't sound like SIBO, but it doesn't sound like it's presenting like SIBO, but, you know, those are things, certainly good things to do. Look at the stool test. I would have somebody, a physical therapist or a chiropractor or somebody that does deep kind of body evaluation, therapeutic body stuff, to see if there's some specific areas of, you know, now there's probably scar tissue from the interventions, but I would be looking to see if there's something there. I've had people who have had these, you know, what they thought was kidney pain or pelvic pain, and you get in there and adjust them and get the movement back, and that helps a lot.
Okay, Dr. Lisa Murray, as we had for your information, I have seen the physiotherapist, I have seen the chiropractor, I tried them all. I don't see any result.
It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
And you haven't had a stool test done before? This is your first time?
No, I haven't done the stool test. It's my first time, and I sent it to the lab, so I haven't got the result back. I think it's coming after 4 weeks now.
Yeah. Yeah, and did you go through all the paper pen assessments? Because we're looking down there, but there may be a problem up higher where you're not digesting things and it's getting out of balance. So I would make sure that you actually follow through, not just on the candida, but start at the top with the, you know, the relaxation before you eat. Really allow yourself to get into parasympathetic mode before you eat. I could hear you. You're very stressed. And I don't know if you're like that right before you eat, but you have to
Okay. To be very honest with you, I get a bit nervous when talking on the phone, especially when I always concerned about my language. So
that's
why I'm
make sure you're doing that, okay? Because a lot of people overlook those simple things, and the gut is in this, it's not, and you know, there's fear. Is it get worse with food, or is it just always at the same level?
Also, for your information, I know it's on. I know it's not on the CMBS case study. This is the only time I can get to talk to you. There's a lot of information I'm going to tell you now. Actually, I am going through a lot of stress for my family back home. Mom, brothers, and all that. And over here, I don't have much stress because it's only me and my husband. So my life is quite relaxed here. And I go to church and I meditate on the will of God. And I eat very slowly and very calmly. I personally think it's not because of my eating habit. I think it's more of the pain trauma. It's causing me the anxiety. It's causing me anxious, don't know what is going on inside, and because I tried so hard for all these years.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. It's frustrating. You know, that's why I keep thinking that there's potentially a physical thing. I'm going to open up Laura's line and see if Laura has anything that she wants to contribute. Laura, could you unmute? There we go. Hey, Laura.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah,
so I would definitely
recommend, have you seen a pelvic floor physical therapist?
Can you hear her?
Yeah, I can hear a little bit. Are you telling, Laura is talking to me?
Yeah, Laura is talking to you. She's asking if you've ever seen a pelvic floor physical therapist, a physical therapist who specializes in pelvic floor.
No, I haven't seen anybody who do the pelvic and the physio. I don't know where to find them.
Yeah, okay. So there's two resources, and I'm actually on this on my phone, but maybe I can get on the web and type these in. But one is the American Physical Therapy Association section on women's health. They have a practitioner directory. Where do you live again? I didn't catch that.
I live in the UK, so it would be good that if you put the link on this chat, then I might check it out. I don't live in America, I live in the UK.
Well, I would say then Google pelvic floor physical therapist or whatever your UK Physical Therapy Association to see if they have someone that's listed as a pelvic floor expert.
Yeah.
Pelvic floor expert, physical therapy, physical therapist that specializes in pelvic floor.
Okay, pelvic floor.
I just keep getting this instinct that there's some scar tissue, there's some this, you know, that it's some kind of physical thing going on down there, and all this intervention that you're doing is actually kind of making it worse because you're creating more scar tissue and lack of proper biodynamics down there.
Okay, I will for this. Thank you very much for the question because I'm really panicking myself now. I don't know where to turn to, and you name it, I did. And I said, God, help me. I don't know what is wrong. No one find out what is wrong. Scanning, everything I've done.
Right, but you know what? You didn't do the you didn't do the stool test until now, so you'll get some information there as to whether there's some dysbiosis, bad bugs, you know, imbalance of normal flora, and you'll take a look and have somebody evaluate you for the pelvic floor imbalance.
Okay, I'll do that, Dr. Lisa Mary. I will do that.
Okay.
And I would just ask, you know, is she having any urinary incontinence, fecal incontinence, came with intercourse, any of those things going on as well?
Did you hear that?
What did she say?
Yeah, it's hard for you to hear. Do you have any urinary incontinence? Like, you know, if you sneeze, you start to leak urine?
No, I don't have anything. No.
And any pain with intercourse?
To be honest, because I'm not sexually active at all, so I don't know at all.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Or any fecal, well, it sounds like you're more constipated than having fecal incontinence.
Yeah, I'm now suffering constipation and very bloated. I don't know why. I'm on the custom probiotics and lactic acid free. So I'm on that probiotics, which I didn't try the multi-strain. I find that the multi-strain, I get a lot of gas. So I thought I'd change it to the probiotic now, so I've been taking that one, but I don't seem a lot of changing yet, a lot of improvement.
So here's what I'm going to suggest. I don't remember what the exact date is, but sometime in, I think it's in January, we have our CMDS, let me see if I can find it. We have the case study, and it'll be more during the day, so it'll be easier for you to come to, put it on your calendar, because if you get your results back by then, I would have you fill out the whole case study thing so we're seeing all the different pieces. It's taken a long time to get a lot of information on this, which if you fill out the case, it'll be much easier. It's on January 7th, okay?
Okay.
11 a.m. Central to 3. So that's 11 would probably be like 6 o'clock, 11, 5 or 6 o'clock for you in the UK. So it's on a Saturday. Lock it off. The 7th of January. Submit that in advance, though. There is a study form on the site. Fill it out. Fill out all your information on there and upload. There will be a little button to upload your labs once you get them back from Genova and any other labs that you have, and we'll see if we can, you know, find anything there if you haven't already found something by then.
Okay? I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Look for the pelvic floor specialist. Okay?
Thank you.
We'll get a bunch of links in the chat.
Okay, great. And so check the chat here. It's on the click the Zoom link, and then she posted in the chat, she posted some links. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, great. All right, so am I still sharing my screen? What are you guys seeing on the screen?
I see your calendar.
I see my calendar. Yeah, okay. There we go. I was looking for the Instant Tele seminar again. So let me stop sharing. How do I stop sharing? I didn't stop sharing. It just says new share. I don't know how to do that. So let me go here. All right. Did you have your hand up to contributor? Did you have your hand up for another for a question, Laura?
I have my hand up for a question too.
Okay, good. Well, you're open, so let's go.
I got some really interesting information yesterday about the kind of continued hip pain. That when I saw the specialist in Houston, he had said that there was actually a subspine impingement of the AIIS and a CAM impingement in both hips, and that between those two impingements, the labrum was getting pinched, and that's what's causing the tearing, which actually makes a lot of sense to me because, like, my pain increases with sitting or any kind of hip flexion or, you know, kind of getting into that position, which is really interesting. So it was really helpful, but it's looking like a scope is needed in each hip to address this, which I can't believe we're talking about this again. But I was just wondering if you had any other kind of recommendations or tips and tricks as I prepare for another hip surgery. Anything that you could kind of think of besides, you know, continuing with the anti-inflammatory diet and Arnica and, you know, just kind of...
Yeah, you know, lots of proteolytic enzymes to help with the inflammation, but you have to be careful not too close to the surgery, but certainly after the surgery, to help with inflammation. If you take them before, you could, if you could cause increased bleeding. So you got to be careful of that. You know, and the high dose vitamin C and bioflavonoids and all that. But the proteolytic enzymes afterwards should certainly help. And in preparation, you know, all the things you said. I mean, you've been through this so many times. You're the expert on it. I know that Lynn posted in the NEPT group I do have a resource too. Lynn posted in the NEPT group some of her like pre and post surgery kind of recommendations. You might already be doing all of that, but you certainly, you know, look at that. But a friend of mine, and I'm trying to remember her name, I know met her at a conference, but she has this hypnosis stuff that you actually play in advance of your surgery, during your surgery, and after. And I learned about it the day someone on my team was about to go in to get surgery on a foot that she had a broken bone that had to get fixed. And I quickly had her send it over, and she wasn't able to actually do it the during, but she was able to do it after, and it was amazing. And it's all this stuff to give this subconscious healing messages. So that might be interesting. Carol Daly. Let me see if I can find the link to her program, or I'll Facebook her. She might be on Facebook, but Carol Daly, you can look her up on Facebook and just tell her that I recommended that you get in touch. And it's like, I don't know, $97 or something. And it's this whole series of surgery stuff that she developed. And that she's a certified hypnotherapist. So that might be a really good thing to look into. Because we all forget about that, you know, the messages that we send. And if you get the surgeons, it sounds like he's pretty open, but they're willing to let you listen, like on your iPhone or iPod or whatever, during the surgery, that's putting all these subconscious messages in about healing, which is really cool.
And I just strongly feel like, because my iliopsoas on both hips have been so tight, and I feel like my poor little iliopsoases are trying to stabilize my hip.
Yes, that's it, right? If they're trying to do their job, and you know, that dysplasia is just, and for those of you who are not familiar with, you know, with Laura's situation or any of the words she just used, I get it because that's my training too. AIIS is anterior, inferior iliac spine, and it's this, there's these ligaments that attach to these different parts on your pelvis. And she has a hip dysplasia. dysplasia, and she's had several surgeries on it already. And that was congenital, right? Your congenital?
Yeah, it's congenital.
And you know, it's a small percentage, but people get this congenital hip dysplasia, and those are the people who most don't even know they have it until they start to have these issues with their hips and end up having to have hip replacements. They go, oh, look at that. You have a congenital dysplasia. And some people, it's much more severe, and they know it right from birth. So, but Laura's been dealing with this for a long time and has multiple surgeries on it. And, I mean, it's nice that they, that if he has a solution or something they could do, does he have something that can be done for it if they go in there?
Yeah, so this is what was really encouraging, because my first option was do more steroid injections, which I don't like that at all, or exploratory surgery. And I was like, no. We're not doing that. And this guy that I saw in Houston was amazing. He was at Houston Methodist, and he said, I don't do exploratory anything. Like, we're going to have a game plan and go in there. So we did a 3D CT scan, and I guess the scanners that they have there in Houston, he said the radiation would be very, very minimal, like similar to x-rays, which made me feel better with my other history. But from there, they're actually going to do a 3D printer and make a model of my pelvis and hips so he can see all of that. Isn't that incredible what they're doing in medicine? So he has a 3D image of my hips and pelvis before he even goes into surgery, so we will have a very clear game plan and plan of action, and they're going to correct the subspine impingement, correct the can impingement, so shave down that femoral head, repair the labrum, and then do a decompression of the hip joint. And he said he has 75% of his patients post-op have significant relief of pain in a month post-op.
Wow.
I was like, oh my gosh. Which would just be amazing. And he was talking to me about playing tennis again, and I haven't done a lot of the things that I love to do because of all these hip issues, and it just brought tears to my eyes. I was so excited just to be talking about doing these active things that I love.
Just the fact that he was interested and he cared enough to ask those questions, I think, is pretty darn amazing, because you don't get that in the quick office visit. You know, here's the thing, here's your deal. So that's really cool.
And I really, really feel like the lingering issues with my pelvic pain is tied to these hip issues. And I was even doing some research, which was fascinating me, which I would love to get your take on this, Dr. Emery, but it was talking about iliopsoas and kind of the emotional components of iliopsoas, but also how it's so closely linked with the gut and with SIBO. And I've been working on my gut for a while, and I just have this feeling like, oh my gosh, like the hips are kind of the gateway and the stabilizing force of the body. And if I can get these addressed and cut down that underlying inflammation in my hips and stabilize that biggest, you know, largest weight bearing joint of the body, that maybe that will in turn help with my gut healing.
Yeah, it could very well. You know, and the other thing is, because when I look at like applied kinesiology and the connections and with rich meridians and all, psoas is actually related to kidneys. But whenever I find somebody with psoas issues, I find compensatory IT band and what's the name of that thing? Tensor fasciolata issues, and that is related directly to large intestine and in particular areas around the ileocecal valve. So yeah, I mean a lot of that is that visceral somatic, somatovisceral connection that a lot of folks overlook, which is why I wanted Favor to be looking at that, because of the visceral somatic somatovisceral interactions that we so often overlook in mainstream medicine.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like it's all related.
And we gotta look at it as we gotta look at a person as the whole picture, not just a set of symptoms, which
Good. Well, thank you for that. I will definitely check that out. And that's,
check that out. Carol Daly. And just if you just send an email to, I think, INE or NEPP@DrEmery.com. That goes to my coaching inbox. And then I'll or just PM me on, that's easier. PM me on Facebook if you can't find her. And I'll find her and I'll make an introduction to you.
Okay, very cool. Because anything that I can think of to, it's crazy to be thinking about two more hip surgeries, but it's so funny because I have such peace about it. Like, I just feel like, oh my gosh, like healing is happening. It's happening.
Yeah, well, you have some answers, too. That's the thing. It's so much in the dark when you just don't know, like poor Faber, you know. It's like, I just don't know. Like, what is this? What's going on here? Right? And that not knowing adds to the stress, which decreases the healing. And that's why I think it's so invaluable for us to really be communicating with our clients, not just, oh, yeah, here, take this thing and take that thing. And they don't know what really you're thinking and what's going on. And when you sit down and spend the time explaining to them in their terms how their body's working and what could be going wrong and what you're thinking, they have this relief that somebody's finally on the right track. You may not have immediate answers, but you're working on it and you're willing to work on it. Like this guy, you know, he said, no, I'm not going to do exploratory. I'm going to go in there and we're going to have a game plan. I mean, what an amazing find, you know? It's so unusual in an orthopedic surgeon type of person.
Yes, and his fiance is a colorectal surgeon who's very familiar with pelvic floor. So it's really cool. So he knows the pelvic floor piece with the hip health stuff, and it's very interesting. It was fun to consult with him.
Well, he'll be fine, I'm sure, with you doing the tapes during the surgery.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
No, I don't see. It sounds like he's really open to all that.
Yeah.
Especially since you started talking about the emotional connection. What surgeon talks to you about the emotional connection?
I know.
Like, really? That's unusual.
I know. It was so refreshing, especially after kind of getting the runaround from the first two people I saw. It was really cool.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah, thanks so much.
When are you going to do it?
They should have the results today, and they said he would give me a call and we do a phone consult either, if not this week, next week, and that he has opening every week in December, so I'm actually thinking it may be sooner rather than later. I know.
Weren't you doing was something about Christmas about 2 years ago?
Yes! And it's crazy. Yes, exactly. That's such a good memory, that's really. Yes, it was 2 years ago on Christmas that we did one of the PAOs, so, I'm trying to just mentally prepare again and get ready and kind of do my part. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll hook you up with Carol as soon as we can because I know she has some pre-op, during-op, and post-op stuff that really helps prepare your body for it.
Oh, yeah. That sounds awesome.
Okay. Great.
Thank you so much.
Sure. All right. Well, we're coming to the end. We have another call for the other group at 3:30. So if there's any last questions or comments or anything at all, let me know. I'm going to see if there's any hands up. Laura, I put your hand down. Who else? Questions? Comments? What do you guys think? Do you like Zoom better than Instant Teleseminar? Anybody have any suggestions? Because, you know, we're going into the new year. We're going to figure out what we're going to actually go forward with. And kind of silly for me to be paying for like four different services, and I want to just zoom in and have one and one as a backup, one as a backup, and not make it so confusing. But I think Zoom has it all, right? It has phone lines, it has the internet connection with voice, it's very clear, it's very stable, it has chat, I mean, share screen, you can see each other. It's like this dream come true. So if anybody has any comments about that, I'd love to hear it. But I'm really thinking that moving forward, we're just going to do it. I just have to bite the bullet and up. Yes, Susan says I like it. That's too confusing. So we'll start doing that. We just have to get our back end. You know, we have all these reminders and everything else. We have to get it all set up to do it that way and maybe keep doing something else as a backup until we're sure. But I have to up my account because I think I have a 50-person account, so I have to be able to. Most of these calls don't have more than 50, but some of them actually do. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Just kidding. What's the just kidding? What did I miss? I think I missed something.
That was me when I said we need Lynn.
Oh, we need Lynn. I'm like, we do. I mean, she's helpful. It makes me have to look at all this stuff, but anyway.
Do you think we're going to have a chance to go over my test, or do you want to do that another time?
Well, since you didn't raise your hand, I thought you had decided that you wanted to do it next week, so I was waiting.
Oh, sorry.
And I thought, yeah, because we have two calls next week for any PT. We have one Monday night and one Tuesday afternoon. And Tuesday afternoon is actually the case study. So if you fill out the case study form for your mom and explain kind of what's going on, it's not just me blindly looking at labs. I mean, I have a couple of ideas I could tell you real quick, but there was something in her.
Did you not get the two of mine? Because there were two of hers that I submitted a couple weeks ago that you now have. I guess you got it later on. But then I submitted two new ones for me. One was a GI effects and the other was an ode test. Doesn't sound like you got it.
No, I did.
Okay.
I didn't look at them in detail because OTEST take a long time.
Yeah.
And I knew we wouldn't have to have that time. But I know I looked at her OTEST real quick and it said get her gut cleared up because she's got a lot of overgrowth in her gut. And yours, let's see if I can find it. I know I had it open a minute ago.
I can submit mine for the case study call.
Yeah, whichever you want to do. Let's just look at that. I'm just going to tell you real quick. I had it open.
Okay.
I don't know why it's not here. Ah, no, that was Carol. It was Carol. I had them open, but it's like, oh, I had it open on my other computer. I was all set on my other computer, and then when it crashed and wouldn't work, that's why I'm not seeing it. I'm just confused, that's all. I was like, oh, no, current. Here we go. Susan, and I see mom's genomic. And that's just your MTHFR, so I don't think you really need me to, get that she's got homozygous and you get what to do with that. Her Krebs cycle at a glance and her neutral. Oh, I think when I looked at her Krebs cycle at a glance, that was the stuff that it struck me that you really just need to start working with her gut because she's got some overgrowth, bacterial and candido, based on those numbers.
Okay. Any particular product you recommend?
Well, not really product as much as, first of all, you got to do the basics. Is she on the right diet? Is she, get her to do the elimination diet?
Oh, gosh. She's 85. She's in assisted living and got dementia. So we're very challenged with that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, otherwise I'd have her doing that straight away. I could get her going gluten-free. We could have my dad's caregiver bring her food. We've done this before. When we cleared up her H. pylori, we had her on a gluten-free diet.
I would start with that minimally. Yeah, if you can get her off gluten and dairy potentially too and sugar. I mean, if you can get her off those three things, that could be really helpful because, you're not going to really clear it up permanently unless you do. And in terms of that, I mean, it's really hard to tell from a, let me see if I can open this one up. It's really hard to tell, let me share this real quick, but we only have like less than 5 minutes to do. Let's see, share. There we go, share screen. And it would be, which screen am I sharing? There we go, mom's Krebs cycle. Yeah, so, when you look at this, there's malabsorption markers. So there's one marker for malabsorption. So clearly she's got, that would be cleaning up the gut. And we have that whole protocol for healing leaky gut in CMDS. She's got bacterial, just one bacterial overgrowth marker that's pretty high. She's got a yeast marker. So we don't know what the organisms are.
Right,
that's the thing about this, like where a stool test gives you the organisms. But, you can try some general stuff. What I found is that the general stuff that most people are resistant to are things like oregano and berberine because so many people use them. But if she hasn't used that kind of thing in advance before, then certainly to keep it simple for her, Allergy Research has one called Tricycline. And it has things to hit all, like parasites, candida, and bacteria. So that might be a good combination formula to see, but I'd probably alternate because she might get resistance. So you can do that and alternate it with, say, caprylic acid and, berberine. I think that has berberine in it, though. What's the other one that's a combo formula? I'm usually not a big fan of combo formulas. I usually like to use simple things, but she's 85 and she's in a nursing home with dementia. So we want to keep it simple. I would start with the tricycline and then as much cleanup of her diet as you could possibly do.
Okay.
Yeah. And yours, oh, good. You did the great cleanup. I like that one better. You've got a fungal marker. You've got a couple of bacterial markers as well.
I know. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And you've got high oxalate.
And no, it's almost double.
Yeah.
More than double.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I do have blueberries every day, so that is a high oxalate food. I have kale, so maybe I need to lay off of that.
I hate to take you off of good stuff.
I know.
I think I'd rather heal your leaky gut, you know? Like, seriously, the reason that people have sensitivities to oxalates is because the oxalates are getting in the bloodstream. It's the only way they're going to get in your urine, and they should be just eliminated in the gut, right?
Uh-huh.
So I would say taking magnesium and calcium citrate with your meals to bind the oxalates and pull them out could be good. And then B6 and magnesium help to pull the oxalates out as well so they don't build up in the kidney.
Okay.
And then you've got some neurotransmitter stuff.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you can explain the HVA-VMA ratio. There's obviously a problem.
I could, except I'll do that on Monday.
Okay.
Talk about it Monday, because I only have 1 minute, and it'll take way more than 1 minute.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for submitting. Yeah, we're talking to Monday or Tuesday or both, depending on how many other people call in. Okay?
All right.
So,
thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for being here and for doing this. I'm going to stop the share, and I'm going to stop the recording. And we'll talk again next month for people who are just in the INE group. And here in CMDS, we have that January 7th. So any, please get your test, cases to me at least a week in advance. Otherwise, it's going to be crazy trying to, get it all together. So submit your cases. There's a case study submission form, and we'll get through as many cases as we can, and we're going to do a wrap-up and, just kind of give you an overview. I really want you to have a process for going through. We're not looking for a solution or a diagnosis. We're looking for a process. All right, so I'm going to open up the lines, unmute. Bye-bye, everybody. Have fun.
Bye.
We're going to draft Leslie and Tony. They're reviewing Leslie.